Well, as I was looking at these texts, the one that stands out to me this Sunday, as it does quite often, if not in fact most often, it's the story of Thomas. Thomas is one of those people in scripture that we're not really sure what to do with. At the one hand, he does things we don't think we would do, but when we think about it, we probably would, or at least we would have some very similar thoughts. And then that pushes us into, gives us an opportunity at least to think about what does it mean to have doubts? What does it mean to have faith and all that goes with it? And the sermon title, It's Not the Opposite of Faith, comes directly from this. Faith and doubt have a similar relationship to each other as courage and fear have to each other. Courage is not the lack of fear. When I was younger, I did all kinds of dangerous things and foolish things to show off and all that. And it wasn't because I was particularly brave. It's because I didn't care. It was because I was extremely unhealthy in those days and felt that, well, if you're going to go, you may as well go doing something impressive, assuming that anything that I did actually was impressive to anyone other than perhaps me. That's not courage. Courage is doing what needs to be done, regardless of how you feel. Courage isn't the lack of fear. Courage is being aware of the fear, realizing that what you need to accomplish is more important than giving in to the fear and doing it anyway. The opposite of courage isn't fear, it's foolhardiness, it's arrogance, it's disdain of risk, it's lack of caring for other people. And faith is not the lack of doubt. Now, we're told many times in Scripture that we should believe and not doubt. James talks about that, and it's something that we do need to pay attention to. But I think we'd be better off if we looked at that as an aspirational goal, if you will, rather than something that all of us can do, will do, and should do. It's important for us to know what it is that we believe. It's good for us to not doubt. But at the same time, what do we do when we have doubts? I have never met anyone who hasn't had doubts about important things. Some people have doubts about the faithfulness of their partners and friends. That's an unpleasant place to be, perhaps, but it's still a reality. Most people who have suffered a significant loss, whether it's a family member, a friend, someone who they know and care about has died, or a dream is gone, whatever it might be, there's a sense of doubt in the goodness of God even then. And then what do we do with that? Well, let's remind ourselves, first of all, that the opposite of faith isn't doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. In a Christian perspective, the opposite of faith is self-sufficiency. Doubt is just one of those things that is going to happen to us. And when we look at our text, Jesus comes, Thomas is with them to begin with. Jesus appears or comes through a locked door somehow and says, "Peace be with you," which would probably be a good way to begin. Because if the doors are locked and someone appears, you're probably going to be a little startled. But then again, I think most of the time when angelic beings or God says, "Peace be with you," it's because something is so extraordinary. I'm not sure peace is even possible, but there you have it. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." I read that without thinking for a very long time. Because I was just looking at what was there and I wasn't looking at what isn't there. And what isn't there? There is no condemnation there. Jesus does not say, "Okay, Thomas, here you go. Hands, side, what's wrong with you?" Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, the rest of you, don't ever be like Thomas because he's dumb, because there's something wrong with him, because Thomas doubted, and no one should ever doubt." There is no condemnation there at all. Jesus says, you had doubts, here you go. Now you don't have doubts anymore. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas does. He says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We are the ones who have not seen and yet still believe. If we have doubts, does that mean we lack faith? Well, possibly, but not necessarily. We have doubts because we have limitations. We have doubts because we can't always see all of the goodness of God. Sometimes we can. I have encountered people over the years who have given no evidence whatsoever of any lack of commitment to the goodness of God, even in the midst of horrifying experiences for them, of terrible losses. That's wonderful for them, but it's not the norm, because I remember them. I remember all of them, because there haven't been very many. I remember sitting with a student who had recently become a paraplegic through no fault of his own, riding his bicycle, wearing a helmet, doing all of the things he could possibly do to keep himself safe, and was in an accident that was in no way his fault. And as he lay in that hospital bed, he gave glory to God. An extraordinary moment, a gift to him and through him to us, about belief and about commitment to God's goodness in the face of all things. But for those people who have suffered similar things and didn't have that same response, is there something wrong with them? No. It doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them bad Christians. Because the existence of doubt doesn't change anything. It's what we do with that doubt. Thomas, who had these doubts, could have said, well, until I see those things, I'm not going to believe. And abandoned not just the faith, but abandoned his companions as well. What if Thomas had said, this is ridiculous, nobody rises from the dead, I'm just leaving. I'm going to go back and do whatever I did before. So when Jesus came through that locked door, Thomas wasn't there. How would Thomas have ever known? Thomas had doubts, but he didn't let his doubts overwhelm him and change everything about him. Thomas continued to meet with the other disciples. He continued to be there. So when his doubts were ready to be addressed, he was in a place where they could be. And we can do the same. I don't think most of us, we will encounter the physical risen Christ coming through a locked door. But what do we do with our doubt? We want to be Thomas. Rather than living in denial, and there's lots of different kinds of denial, there are some people who, when they have doubts, just say they don't have doubts. And these are the people that Mark Twain was talking about when he said, faith is believing in what you know isn't true. That's no answer. There are people who, when they have doubts, then deny that they ever had any beliefs in the first place. And if they were Thomas, they would say, well, I never thought he was the Son of God. I never thought he was the Messiah. I just followed him because it was fun, or whatever else he might have said, or whatever else he might have been thinking. Thomas did something about his doubt. He articulated it. He said it out loud to people, even though I'm sure some people found it shocking and possibly even offensive. But he spoke it to the community he was part of, and they didn't reject him either, because he was still part of them when Jesus came to address Thomas, among others. That's what we need to do. Rather than pretending we have no doubts, and often the person we're trying to fool the most is ourselves, we can admit that we have doubts, because that in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of being human. That's part of going through pain and coming to the realization that God is there, even though we can't see or feel him the same way we would like to. But we have to be in a position that those doubts can be addressed. And we do that by admitting them to ourselves, admitting them to God, who knows already anyway, And sometimes it means admitting them to our friends and the members of our faith community. At one of the most difficult times of my life, after Heather and I lost our first daughter, someone at the church we attended said, "It's okay if you're finding it hard right now. It's okay if you don't believe, because we will believe for you until you're ready to believe again yourself." What a profound gift that was to me. It allowed me to admit what was, that I was so angry with what had happened that I even became angry with God. I was so disappointed, I was so hurt that I couldn't even believe. And someone said, "You don't have to. We will believe for you. We will take up that task for you until you're ready to take it up yourself again." And I was. It took time, of course. Did God reject me when I had those doubts? No. God sent a saintly person to say those words to me that made all the difference in the world. If I would have stopped being in that community, if I would have turned my back on everything, I wouldn't have heard those words, and I don't know where I'd be today, and I'm glad I didn't have to find out. It may be possible to live a life without doubt, in the same way that it may be possible, as our Wesleyan friends believe, to live a life of perfection. I'm not saying it's impossible. What I'm saying is I've never met anybody who could. What I have met over the years are people who have addressed their doubts in those two ways. Some people have denied them, have said they don't exist, have turned their back on everything, and they have become less happy. It has not done them any good that I could see. But I've seen many who address their doubts by giving them to God, by saying, "I don't understand this, I don't understand you, I don't like it, I wish it was different," all of those things. And at the end of it, when the doubts were addressed, however it was for them, they were stronger than they'd been before. Their faith was strengthened, even in the midst of doubt. Those are the people, and those kind of people are the ones who say to others, "We'll believe for you until you can believe for yourself. We will support you until you're ready to come back better than you were before, even out of this evil or this tragedy," whatever it might have been. Those are the people that we want to take our cues from. We want to be Thomas, not because doubting is something to pursue, but because doubting is something to admit that it's real, it happens to us, but it's not the end of everything. Because if we handle doubt correctly, we'll come out the other side stronger than when we went in. God doesn't condemn doubt. God blesses those who go through the painful process of working out what that doubt means, coming out the other side as faith-filled people once again. Blessing that only God could do, and for which I and many of us are profoundly grateful. Amen.